There's a lot of Christians who are sleeping, who are asleep. And when that wake-up call comes, when God tries to get our attention and we start to wake up, it's disorienting. It's jarring. It's confronting upon our senses. But what should our response be to the fact that Jesus could come at any moment for us?
The Apostle Paul urged believers to be alert as we live in this fallen world and wait for Jesus' return. And today on Connect with Skip Heisek, Skip's son Nate Heisek shares this urgent wake-up call from Paul about how you can live effectively for Christ today. But before we begin, here's a great resource that will help you tap into deeper faith with more passionate prayers.
Ready to radically upgrade your prayer life? Still stuck in bless me mode? You have come to the right place if you are ready for dangerous prayers.
We're going to really start praying three new prayers. And I want to warn you, these are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. These are not benign prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers, but they're dangerous in a good way. In fact, if you ask my opinion, most people I know in this part of the world, most people's prayers are way too safe.
That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Get it if you are ready to get out of your comfort zone.
What I want to do is I want to arm you with some prayers that are not safe to pray. In fact, just know going into them, when you pray these prayers, you're really asking God to do something that will often take you out of your comfort zone.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
We're going to talk about a very dangerous prayer where we ask God to break us. Break me, God. You want to pray a dangerous prayer, you ask God to break you. That's the last thing any of us want. But on the other side of brokenness is a real intimacy with God and a dependence on Him that you cannot get to any other way but through brokenness.
We all have enough encouraging books. Get one that will grab you by the throat and get your attention.
We're going to pray, send me. In other words, instead of saying, God, I'll do what I want to do for you, we're going to say, God, I'm signing a blank contract, basically. Whatever, whenever, however, God, I'm available to you. Whatever you want to do, my life is yours. You send me.
Connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888.
Okay, we're in Romans chapter 13 today as we get into the teaching with Nate Heisek.
You know, I don't think it would be a stretch to say that we live in a fallen world today, right? It seems like every year the boundaries get pushed a little bit further. The crimes become a little bit more shocking. The headlines seem to be more and more depressing. And that moral line that so many of us grew up knowing is there gets a little bit more blurred. All around us, we have reminders that Jesus is setting the scene for his return to this earth. All you have to do is take a look at the news headlines of 2019. Here's a few of the top headlines from this past year. Hurricane Dorian, path of destruction. 22 dead in El Paso Walmart shooting. 4.6 magnitude earthquake hits Barstow area. 250 people dead in Sri Lanka Easter bombings. Let me tell you something, and this might not be the message you wanted to hear this morning. This might not be the message of hope that you were expecting to get, but it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. The headlines are only getting more depressing. Violence is only going to increase. The moral line is just going to continue to get blurred. The outcome, the scenario for where our world is headed isn't up, it's further down. It's just going to get worse. And the words of Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18 continues to mark humanity. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. So next time you think that you were born basically good, think again. We are not born good. We're not born basically good. We are all born bad. If you want an accurate assessment of where you're at, of how you're doing, of how God views your good works, that's the answer. But you know what's incredible? God still loves us. God still cares for us. God still wants a relationship with us. God sought us out when we were far from Him. God wanted us when we wanted nothing to do with Him. God desires a relationship with us in spite of all the bad things we've done, in spite of our natural state. I read an article online that was titled, "Young Adults Struggle with Morality," and it said this: a nationwide survey by the Barna Group indicates that Americans have redefined what it means to do the right thing within their own lives. The article continued to say researchers asked adults which, if any, of 8 behaviors with moral overtones they had engaged in during the past week, and a majority of adults had engaged in at least one of these 8 behaviors during the past week. And here's some of the findings from their poll. 65% admitted to using profanity in public. 38% had engaged in sex outside of marriage. 37% had lied. 33% admitted to intentional exposure to pornography. 25% had gotten drunk. And the article concluded by saying, "We are witnessing the development and acceptance of a new moral code in America. Millennials have had little exposure to traditional moral teaching and limited accountability for such behavior." Man, that line could sum up society today: limited accountability. "The moral code began to disintegrate when the generation before them, the baby busters, pushed the limits that had been challenged by their parents, the baby boomers. The result is that without much fanfare or visible leadership, the U.S. has created a moral system based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness. The consistent deterioration of the Bible as the source of moral truth has led to a nation where people have become independent judges of right and wrong, basing their choices on feelings and circumstances." And it closed by saying this: "It is not likely that America will ever return to a moral traditional code until the nation experiences significant pain from its moral choices." Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14 is God's wake-up call to the church. It is God's wake-up call to humanity. It is God's wake-up call to America. You know, many times when I travel and I'm in different time zones, I'm in different areas, I'm staying at a hotel, I'll often call the hotel and ask for a wake-up call. Anyone ever called and asked for a wake-up call? It's such a convenient feature. You can have them call you and they'll wake you up, and you can ask them to call you every 15 minutes to wake you up. But something weird happens when I'm traveling. Oftentimes I'm in different time zones, I'm in different cities, and because of the time zone change, I'll get that first call and I'll hear that phone ringing and I wake up having no idea where I am. No idea what city I'm in, no idea what time it is, what day it is. I don't even know my name. And I hear that phone ring, I'm like, "Where's the fire? What's happening? Where's my kids?" And I have no idea where I am, because it's disorienting. It's jarring, because I'm still sleepy. I'm still tired. I've been in maybe a couple different cities over a few different days, and I lose sight of where I am. I find the same is true in the church. There's a lot of Christians who are sleeping, who are asleep. And when that wake-up call comes, when God tries to get our attention and we start to wake up, it's disorienting, it's jarring, it's confronting upon our senses. But what should our response be to the fact that Jesus could come at any moment for us? If we're asleep and there's a wake-up call that's about to come, what should our response be? Well, some people get so excited about the fact that Christ is going to return, they disregard all responsibilities and they simply wait for His return to get them out of the mess that they're in. They just give up. They say, "Man, the world's so messed up. The world is so beyond repair. It can't be saved. So I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to hide my head in the sand. I'm just going to sit passively by and wait for it all to go to hell, literally, so I can go to heaven." And they just wait around. Other believers, sensing the soon return of Jesus, are secure in their eternal destiny, and they're simply biding their time. And yet the Scripture teaches that there are definite responsibilities that we have to attend to in light of the coming of the Lord. There's certain dangers that we need to be careful of, and there's certain things that we need to actively do. Jesus told a parable about a man who went on a journey, and he left his business to his workers. And he told his workers, he said, "Occupy until I come." Or invest wisely, do business until I come. And he called his 10 servants and he gave them 10 talents, which is equivalent to about $64,000 in our modern era. And he told them to invest it wisely, to occupy until he returned. And to the one who earned 10 from his one, the ruler gave him 10 cities. To the one who earned 5, he gave him the rule over 5 cities. But to the one who simply buried his talent, the Lord rebuked him. This parable teaches us that as we wait for the Lord to return, we need to invest wisely what he has put within our care. And what has God put within your care? Our lives. God has given you the breath that you breathe. God has given you the life that you live. It is not your own. It is a loan. And when God gives this life to you, he gives it to you with the intent that you would invest your life. But some people, when they get saved and they have this eternal destination secured, they just bury it. And they say, now that I'm saved and I know that I'm going to heaven, I'm just going to wait around. I'm just going to protect it and wait till I get out of here. I'm not going to do anything with it. But God has called us to take this life we live and to invest our lives. He has called us to occupy until he comes. God has called us to occupy the places in which we live. We are called to bring heaven to earth. Occupy. We need to occupy this city that we live in. We need to occupy Albuquerque. We need to preach the gospel. We need to care for widows and orphans. We need to feed those without food. We need to house the homeless, to reach out in love to the refugee and the immigrant, to protect those who can't protect themselves. This isn't the government's job. This is the Christian's job. This is the believer's job, to care for our city. Come on, who's ready to occupy Albuquerque until Jesus Christ returns? Who's ready to see revival in our city? Who's ready to take back New Mexico in the name of Jesus Christ and see our families and our neighborhoods and our societies and those who are hurting and those who are outcast and those who the society has said is less than? Who's ready to see change in those areas? And of course, we can all clap and say, oh yeah, we're ready to see change. Who's ready to be a part of the change? Who's ready to stand up and say, I'm not just going to sit passively by and wait for something to happen. I'm going to be the change that I want to see to make this place that we live a little bit more like heaven. Who's ready to invest themselves into this city? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Our breath, our lives are in his hands. Our lives are not our own. They are alone. They are temporary. And guess what? They're fading quickly. So how can we occupy until he comes? How can we wisely invest our lives? Well, Romans 13 gives us some answers. And if this is God's wake-up call to the church, we're going to see three things in this text. That God wants us to get up. He wants us to get out. And he wants us to get going. Let's look at our text, Romans chapter 13, and let's read verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The first call we see here in this text is to get up. Look at verse 11 again with me. He says, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We need to get up. A spiritual alarm is being sounded, is being rung across the globe to every believer in every single church. Keep in mind, this text is addressed to believers. This is a wake-up call. Get up. It's time to wake up. The time has arrived. You need to get up. You need to get out. You need to get going. Let me ask you, what are the traits you look for in a good alarm clock? Do you look for one that's really quiet and doesn't make a lot of noise? Well, if you don't want to wake up, that's what you look for. Some people are nodding their head because they don't want to wake up in the morning. But the traits of a good alarm clock is you want one that's loud enough to wake you up. You don't want one that's like, hey, it's time to get up. If you want to wake up, there's some things you need to do today. No, you want one that says, get up! Wake up! It's time to get to work! There's things you have to do! Stop being lazy! But a lot of us are just content to hit snooze. Keep it going. Keep the sleep going. You know, there's this game that my kids and I play in the morning. Who in here has kids who like to sleep in? Every parent ever raised their hands. Something weird happens. When your kids are really young, they want to wake up super early and wake you up. And then as they get older, they never want to wake up. But we play this game in the morning where my wife or I will get up before our kids and we'll come in really nicely and knock on their door and say, Seth and Katie, it's time to wake up. We got to get ready for school. And usually the response that we're greeted with is they roll over in bed and put their pillows on their heads. And this game progresses. And over the next 15 to 30 minutes, it progresses a little bit more urgent with each call to where it finally ends with, Seth, get out of bed. School's in 10 minutes. The urgency increases as the time progresses. God's call to the church is to wake up. To get up because the urgency has increased. The time is at hand. God's been calling us for a long time and the voice has gotten louder and he's letting us know it's almost time. You need to get up. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake you that sleeps and arise from the dead and Christ shall give you light. We need to wake up from spiritual lethargy. We need to wake up from laziness. We need to wake up from apathy. We need to wake up to the urgency of the days in which we live. Do you realize the urgency of the days in which you live? Do you realize the call that God has placed upon your life? Do you realize the place that God has put you in for such a time as this? And it is urgent. The lateness of the time. The soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 tells us, let us then never fall asleep like the rest of the world. Let us keep awake with our wits about us. And I want to point out, this is not an encouragement for sleep deprivation. This is speaking of spiritual terms. It's not like God's going to bless you more if you get 2 hours of sleep. It's not what this is saying. Let us keep awake with our wits about us. Night is the time for sleep and the time when men get drunk. But we, men of the daylight, should be sober with faith and love as our breastplate and the hope of our salvation as our helmet. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, that Jesus told, it's worth noting that when the call went out that the bridegroom is coming, they were all asleep. They should have been awake. They should have been preparing themselves for the bridegroom to come, but instead they were all sleeping. And this is really a picture of the church today. Although 5 of those bridesmaids are symbols of non-believers pretending to be Christians, the other 5 are a picture of real believers. And my question is, why were the real believers asleep? Why weren't they preparing themselves? Why weren't they ready for the bridegroom to come? Many believers today are asleep when they should be awake. Many believers in this church are asleep. They're Christians, don't get me wrong. They're going to heaven. Their salvation is secured, but they're sleeping when they should be rising. They don't realize the urgency that we have. Let me ask you, are you living your life as though you were asleep? Are you secure in your salvation? Do you know that you're going to heaven? But are you just kind of hiding your head in the ground? Are you just biding your time until the Lord returns? Do you have a perspective that, well, the world's too far gone anyways, so I might as well just sit back and wait for God to come back and he'll sort it all out? Or are you doing what your master told you to do? Are you occupying your space? Are you occupying your city? Are you investing yourself for God's return? Because maybe God's been whispering to you. Maybe you're asleep and God's been calling you and he's been saying very gently, get up. It's time to wake up. It's time to get moving. I've got a plan for you. I've prepared something for you. I want you to do something. I want you to achieve something. And maybe up until now, you've just been rolling over in bed and putting your pillow over your head and saying, don't talk to me, God. I'm trying to sleep. I'm too tired. I don't have the energy to do what you want me to do. I don't have the capacity. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I just need to sleep. And perhaps that voice has gotten louder and louder and louder. And maybe today is your wake-up call. Maybe the Holy Spirit is shouting into your soul and your heart. And he's saying, wake up. The time is now. Get up. I've prepared you for something. I want you to do something. It's time to stop sleeping. It's time to get out of bed. It's time to walk out into your city. And it's time to make a difference. It's time to make a change. I'm ready to do revival. Are you ready to be a part of it? I believe that, church. I believe that God wants to bring revival. I believe that he wants to change this city of ours. I believe he wants to change this church. But I think we need to get up. Look at verse 12. He says, the night is far spent. As I said before, there is urgency to this call. What Paul is referring here is the time until Christ return. The time until Christ return. Now, if the night was far spent 1900 years ago when Paul wrote this, how much more do you think it is now? How much closer to the return of God do you think we're at now? Now, you don't have to look far. We see trends developing, tendencies pointed out that alert us to the soon coming of that domino effect of biblical prophecy that's revealed in the book of Revelations. Let me ask you, are there any moves or trends in our society today towards a one-world monetary system? Geopolitically, is there any trend towards a universal religion or some super leader who would bring in an era of peace? Is there any increase of drug use? Of sexual perversion? Of violent crime? Are there any trends of an increase of false religious systems or teachings? Is there any increase in believers falling away and backsliding? Is there any increase in the isolation of Israel from the other nations of the world? Is there any increase in wars and rumors of wars? Is there any increase in natural disasters? I read a statistic that was alarming. From the year 2000 till now, 20 years, there are more than twice as many natural disasters than there were from the year 1900 to the year 2000. More than twice as many natural disasters in 20 years as the previous 100 before it. These are all signs that were spoken of in the scripture. The Bible talks about birth pains, and the birth pains will increase in severity and timing as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, that we're going to notice more and more things happening at a severe level, and that's signs that something big is coming. And these signs, these trends, they should alert us and wake us up. This is a wake-up call. It's an alarm. And I got to let you know, it is a loud alarm. This is not some quiet, hey, I'm coming. This is a loud alarm. When you look at the news stories, it is loud. What is happening in our society, in our world, it is not passive. It is a loud, ringing alarm. But some of us are still sleeping. Jesus said, when you see these signs begin to happen, look up for your redemption draws near. I think these signs began a long time ago. I think some of us didn't look at it, refused to acknowledge it. But I think now the alarm is ringing, and I think it's time for us to look up because the Lord is coming and we are to be about his business.
That wraps up Nate Heitzik's message for you today from the series Heart and Soul. Now, here's Skip to tell you how your support helps keep these messages coming your way and how it connects more people to the gospel.
We are called to worship the Lord with our lives, surrendering ourselves over to Him so that He can work in and through us. We want to encourage and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. That's why we share these messages, to equip you in your faith. And your generous support today means we can continue to connect you and others to God's Word. Here's how you can make that possible.
Visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give your gift today. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. Again, that's 800-922-1888. Coming up tomorrow, Skip's son Nate Heitzig shares how you can get busy living out God's plan and purpose for you.
The battle isn't with your brother across the aisle who has a different political view than you. The battle is with Satan. And the war is going to be won spiritually, not politically. That the battle we fight is a battle that God has called us to. And it's a battle that we can make a difference in. It's a battle that can change the eternal destination of people from hell to heaven.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.